This is Trendwatch for Youth Beat Radio. The Boy Scouts started over 100 years ago in 1908 in England and in 1910 in the U.S. Over the years, millions of boys have participated in the Boy Scouts, with approximately 2.3 million enrolled today in communities across the country. Boy Scout programs are designed to teach leadership and outdoor skills, promote community service, and develop positive character. The Girl Scouts began in 1912 in Savannah, Georgia. There are approximately 2.6 million Girl Scout members, which includes 1.8 million girls and 800,000 volunteers. Girl Scout programs are designed to prepare girls to become strong leaders in the community, develop positive character, increase community service involvement, expand enrollment for girls in science, technology, engineering and math learning programs, enhance outdoor learning and adventure skills, and promote healthy relationships and friendships. Both organizations offer an opportunity to earn a high-ranking achievement within the organization. For Boy Scouts, it is the rank of Eagle Scout, which involves earning of at least 21 merit badges and an intensive service project that the Scout plans to carry out. For Girl Scouts, it is the Gold Award, which requires completion of a project to solve a critical community problem. Over the past decade, membership in the Boy Scouts has declined. In recent years, the Boy Scouts has been undergoing a transformation. In 2015, after much debate, the organization allowed gay leaders into the organization. In January 2017, the organization officially declared that transgender people can become members. However, the most striking change within the Boy Scouts of America occurred in October of 2017 when the organization announced it would allow girls to join. The Boy Scouts has years of tradition, and the changes have not been welcomed by all. Many religious groups have pulled away from the Boy Scouts of America and have started alternative organizations. Girl Scouts USA has also seen a decrease in members over the past 15 years. However, the organization has seen a major increase in diversity, especially girls who identify as Hispanic or Latina. They've also started to include transgender youth on a case-by-case basis. Both organizations, while different from each other, aim to provide positive experiences for youth to learn leadership and life skills, which include camping programs, activities, and mentoring by positive adult role models. For Youth Beat Radio's Trend Watch, this is Eric reporting.
Hello, Columbus, and welcome to this fantastic episode of Youth Beat Radio, a show which was created in the Ohio State University's School of Environment and Natural Resources. My name is Devin, and I will be your host on this fine evening, because tonight we will be taking a look at what Columbus's youth does outside of school. In what ways do the youth of Central Ohio learn outside of the classroom? For our featured story tonight, we're revisiting our friends at the Highland Youth Gardens and discussing more about who they are, what they do, and how they are having an impact on the lives of youth and families affected by food deserts and so much more. Then for EcoBeat, we'll hear about a program at the Ohio State University's Wexner Center for high school students, grades 10 through 12, called Art and Ecology, which gives youth the opportunity to work with other artists on projects having to do with ecological topics while teaching them about the environment and sustainability. But first, we're going to be hearing about a group that has been gaining major popularity across the nation. This particular organization aims to teach young girls leadership, teamwork, and communication skills, and boost their confidence and self-esteem through a unique curriculum that uses dynamic discussions and activities that creatively integrate running or walking. Up next, I got to talk to some of the people involved with the program Girls on the Run of Central Ohio and learn a little more about what they do and what some of the girls thought about it for this week's Positively Charged. Did you know that a girl's self-esteem peaks at age 9? We live in a society where young girls endure conflicting pressures and messages from their peers, the media, and other forces on how they should look or act. And sometimes this causes major decreases in confidence, anxiety or depression, and a drop in involvement in physical activities. Girls on the Run was started in 1996 in North Carolina with only 13 girls and has grown to consist of over 200 councils in all 50 states and has even served its 1 millionth girl. Girls on the Run of Central Ohio has been inspiring young girls to be joyful, healthy, and confident since 2008, starting with only 12 girls. And as they've grown over the past decade, they are working to ensure that every girl across Central Ohio has the opportunity to learn and grow to reach her limitless potential and boldly pursue her dreams. I had the opportunity to speak with Elika Whitney, the manager of the program, on what Girls on the Run is and how to get involved. Then we'll hear from four young ladies from the St. Timothy School who will be giving us their thoughts on the program and how they think they've grown because of it.
I'm Elika Whitney, Program Manager with Girls on the Run of Central Ohio. Some things I would like for people to know about Girls on the Run. We are an after-school-based program for girls in grades 3 through 8. We incorporate physical activity with social-emotional development and curriculum in a 10-week lesson. And at the end of the 10 weeks, the girls participate in a 5K event downtown Columbus. It's a great opportunity for girls to meet new people, learn about themselves, learn how to give back to the community, and get physically active while doing it all.
And how do you recommend parents find information to get their kids involved?
Parents can always check out our website, girlsontherunofcentralohio.com. They can also reach out to their school administration or staff and ask if their school already hosts a site.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. With four lovely girls from St. Timothy's Catholic Schools. Would you guys mind telling me your names?
Sophie.
Gia.
Cassidy.
Lindy.
How long have you guys been doing Girls on the Run?
2 years.
I've been doing it 1 year.
1 year.
1 year.
Awesome. So what was your favorite part about participating in Girls on the Run?
Not thinking that everything's a race.
Just having fun with my friends and getting to run.
Running with my friends, having fun, and learning how to work together.
Running with my friends and making sure that it wasn't all a race.
What is something you learned while in Girls on the Run, either from a coach or from another participant or girl?
That when you're hanging out with your friends, that you don't need to be, like, shy.
I learned how to be a better friend and a better runner.
Stand up for each other.
Stand up for each other and learn how to be a better friend.
So, Girls on the Run's purpose is to inspire confidence in young girls. How would you say you've gotten more confident since participating?
Not being shy to stand up for, like, yourself and other people.
Just having a better time and just making sure everybody's okay.
Knowing how to stand up for each other.
Knowing how to stand up for myself and others.
What is something that you'd like the audience to know about Girls on the Run?
That nothing's a race and that you just need to be confident that you can do it.
So I just want to let them know that they would have a great time and they should really do it.
Have a great time and, like, be confident and never just, like, give up or say, I can't do this.
You should really do this or recommend it to a friend and that anything is possible when you do Girls on the Run.
Awesome, I like that answer. So you guys all agree that people should try Girls on the Run?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. See, is there anything else you guys want to add?
Join Girls on the Run next year.
Then you should totally recommend it to a friend.
You should totally, like, tell everybody, like, that you should do it because it's really fun and it really supports all the other kids.
That even if you don't have it at your school, just trying to join another school and be confident in yourself. Don't think you can't do it.
Well, thank you guys. You are listening to Youth Beat Radio on Columbus's Community Radio. Next up, we're paying a visit to the Highland Youth Gardens. Located on the outskirts of downtown Columbus, this garden not only provides the community with freshly grown produce, but also provides education and a calm, safe space. These gardens were created in 2009 and have since then been working to strengthen the local community through gardening using a curriculum developed by one of its very own master gardeners, with help from the Franklin County Extension Service and teachers from the Highland Elementary School right next door. The gardens programs serve about 500 kids each year, both during the school year and in the summer, but it also has a more subtle effect on the community surrounding it. Nicole has more on this story. She spoke with people actively involved with the garden and found out just how much these people are making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Nicole, reporter for Youth Beat Radio, and today I am here at Highland Youth Garden in the Hilltop community, and I am here with one of the educators. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Jasmine Benjamin, and I'm the lead educator here at Highland Youth Garden.
And we have another person here with us.
Hi, my name is Lisa Hobson, and I am a member of the board that kind of directs the activities of Highland Youth Garden.
All right. Can you tell the listeners of the radio show a little bit more about Highland Youth Garden and how it started?
Yeah, Highland Youth Garden started in 2009 after the recession. Two recreation centers closed down in the neighborhood, and Peggy Murphy and community members got together and found a vacant plot and slowly developed it into becoming a youth-focused garden that brings in children from nearby elementary schools and from the neighborhood to the garden, now on a weekly basis. It's about a half acre of taken over land that used to be abandoned apartments, and now it's a large garden that has row crops. We use a high tunnel for season extension and year-long growing. We've got perennial berries, grapes, some fruit trees, a native garden area, an herb area, and then nearly 2,000 square feet high tunnel.
Why do you think it's important for community members and youth to be in the space and use it for gardening?
So I think the garden serves as a place to grow not only vegetables, but to gather together like a park where we can celebrate community. We have monthly cookouts, and we also have evening hours for neighborhood kids to come along with the Saturdays. So it's just a safe place that's really beautiful, that offers a lot of beneficial things because it is so pretty and it's safe.
So I was able to talk to Peggy Murphy in 2016 about the garden, and it looks completely different than when I was here, and it's much more vibrant. There's more plants. You have the hoop house and the signs, and everything looks really wonderful. I'm really excited to be here today and experience this with you both, and I'm really excited to know more about the experiences of the youth specifically, because there's the school right next door and how it's impacted them and connecting to nature and food.
Sure. So the youth are the driving force of everything we do in the garden. So programming is focused on what they're learning inside the classroom during the school year and how we can incorporate nature and growing food into their curriculum outside in a more hands-on way. The garden has morphed over the years to provide more varieties of plants to grow. Right now we're trying out peanuts, some soybeans, sweet corn, just some new crops that we've never grown and the kids have never seen or tasted before. And we're growing them in different ways, whether it be in containers or vertical or using season extension techniques to grow more food and get more food out into the community and to the kids.
Yes, I kind of wanted to jump in on what the youth do, because I think you sell yourself short just a little bit. So when classes come to the garden, which they do throughout the entire school year, Jasmine has lessons prepared that include STEM learning, science, technology, and math. And she'll do a little lesson about maybe what the parts of a plant are, what's the difference between, you know, the plant families, or what is a beneficial and what is a not beneficial insect. And then the kids, like one day when I was here, they talked about beneficial and harmful insects, and then they looked at the harmful insects with magnifying glasses, and then they went out and they sprayed our plants with soap and water to get rid of them. So they help do a lot of the tasks, but it's always trying to be also teaching something. So that's an important piece of what she does.
So either of you can answer this question. What do you hope the youth, the parents, community members, what do you hope for them to get out of using this space?
Well, peace would be a good thing. This is a neighborhood that's just got a lot of violence and, you know, it struggles. And so for this to be a peaceful place that kids can come, I think we also hope to change people's eating habits. It sits in the middle of a food desert. The nearest grocery store is 2.5 miles away. And so, you know, there's little markets, but they don't sell anything fresh at the markets.
So if anybody's interested in learning more about Highland Youth Garden, how can they contact you?
The best way to reach us is through email, and our email is hyouthgarden@gmail.com. And they can always call me or reach us on Facebook.
All right. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Nicole with Youth Beat Radio, and today I am here at Highland Youth Garden with Tessa. Hi, Tessa.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing well. So you are here today with a youth group. Can you tell us a little bit about the group and why you're here today at the garden?
Yeah, so we are here with a class from the Homeless Families Foundation's Dowd Education Center. We are a summer camp and after-school program in the Bottoms, primarily serving kids K-8 on the west side of Columbus.
And what are the kids doing today at the garden?
Today, we have done a wide variety of things. When we first got here, we were learning about the life cycle of monarch butterflies, and we got to see a chrysalis and also a few caterpillars that were found here in the garden. And then we also participated in harvesting. Right now, I'm watching a group of kids harvest a lot of onions and beets and carrots. We also got to do some herb tastings and kind of figure out what herbs are used for and how we can best utilize them. The kids really enjoyed tasting the mint and things that were a little bit more mild. There were a couple things like the fennel that had some stronger reactions.
And what did you find most interesting today at the garden when the kids were exploring?
I think I like seeing how tactile the kids are and how hands-on. It's fun to get them in the dirt. They're really excited about the harvesting aspect of things. We've been coming to Highland semi-regularly for the past year, and we really enjoy it. There's been a partnership between the Dowd Education Center and Highland long before I began coming with them, but yeah, we're really excited to be a part of it and to get to utilize this beautiful space that they have.
If anyone's interested in learning more about the group of youth, how can they get in contact with you, or just what website they can go to?
Yeah, we have thehomelessfamiliesfoundation.org. That's probably the best way. There's contact information on there for the Dowd Education Center. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tessa.
Yeah, thank you.